First and foremost, I would say that it's good the Supreme Court actually rendered their decision. Mm-hmm. In Colorado, 500,000 people had already voted in the Republican primary. Coloradans deserve to know, and Americans deserve to know, whether Donald Trump is a qualified candidate. With that said, I'm disappointed in the decision. I think states like Colorado deserve to have the choice to keep oath-breaking insurrectionists off of our ballots. And there's larger implications for federal insurrectionists running for federal office under this decision.
Oh, those insurrectionists, they're going to be able to be on the ballot now, and you'll get a chance to vote for them. Oh. Except you're not an insurrectionist if you haven't been found guilty of being an insurrectionist, which is a point lost on the Colorado Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold. Welcome to the Dana Show. It is me, Rich Zeoli, back in with you today on Super Tuesday as we are experiencing massive outages on Facebook and Instagram. What's going on today? I'm sure it's just all coincidence, right? It's Super Tuesday. It's just all a giant coincidence that there's massive social media outages, right? We got a lot to chat about today on Super Tuesday here on The Dana Show. You can tweet along because Twitter is working. The platform formerly known as Twitter, now known as X, is working. Elon Musk, I guess you say X'd out. Used to say tweeted out, but I guess it's X'd out. X'd out a statement a short time ago saying, if you can read this, it's because our servers are working. So you can follow along on Twitter at Rich Zeoli, R-I-C-H-Z-E-O-L-I, if you like. Here on The Dana Show, as we'll be together for the next 3 hours looking at everything, including the media meltdown over the Supreme Court's unanimous decision to keep Trump on the ballot in Colorado yesterday. And also, too, as we head into Super Tuesday, Biden's numbers, as more people dig into the Siena New York Times poll, the crosstabs, they are just bad, bad. I mean, he's got a 20-point lead with women. I heard there was a big gender gap in this country. I heard that Trump was going to get crushed with women voters because of abortion and everything else. And that's just not true. He's actually doing better with women voters by 20 points, according to that poll. Now, look, I know a poll's a poll, and we're going to have all kinds of different polls, but it's the trends that I look at. And these trends are telling a very consistent story. Let's understand something. I have a rule when it comes to polls. Here's my rule. People lie to pollsters about who they're going to vote for, but they don't lie to pollsters about how they feel about things. People are very honest about their feelings. So in other words, if a pollster calls up your house and you are afraid of being canceled or whatever, and who are you going to vote for? You go, Biden. And then they say, all right, well, how do you think the country's going? And you go, it stinks. I think we're on the wrong track. I think America is it's terrible. Things were better before, blah, blah. You can pretty much make the conclusion that the person is lying to the pollster. I actually think Trump's numbers are even better than the polls are showing, particularly in the 7 swing states that matter, that will decide the presidency. I think his numbers are better. I think they're higher. Because the right track, wrong track question, do you think America's on the right track or wrong track? That question has been an absolute predictor of elections for decades, and it's always right. People don't say the country's on the wrong track and then vote for the incumbent. And what they're saying is they don't just think the country's on the wrong track by a little bit. I mean, they think the train is off the track and it's going in the wrong direction and it's about to go underwater and, you know, be lost forever. I mean, it's bad. The right track, wrong track question. People are saying this country is on the wrong track. So then turn around and then you say Trump's got a 3-point lead in Michigan when you've got 60% of voters saying the country's on the wrong track? No. Those numbers are higher. He's doing better in all these states. Which brings me to the social media outage that's going on today. I had dinner with a couple buddies last night at the Union League in Philadelphia, the historic Union League. And we were chatting about things. And, you know, look, I mean, not to get conspiratorial here, it's just that it's March 5th. And I keep thinking to myself, there's no way they're going to let Trump become president again. I mean, they can't. They're going to do something. They're trying to do anything they can to possibly stop the guy. And I think about March 5th of 2020. I mean, we went into March. Trump was on top of the world. His poll numbers were outstanding. He had just done a big Super Bowl ad, if you remember. And then a week from today, is when all of a sudden I got a note from school saying my kids were coming home and schools were shutting down and restaurants and bars were shutting down and gyms were shutting down. And I'm just saying that, you know, things have a funny way of suddenly turning when it looks like Trump is going to get reelected. And we've been through this. We've seen this before. I'm not saying there's going to be another pandemic or something, although today the CDC director is telling Americans to prepare for yet another update of the COVID-19 shot. So I'm not saying there's going to be another pandemic. I'm just simply saying don't rule out fun and games between now and November. And the social media outage today is not a coincidence. I'm sorry, but it's not. These things just don't happen. I embrace the Vito Corleone rule. I'm a superstitious man. You know, and if lightning should strike, I'm going to blame some of the people in this room. That's kind of how I approach these things. I look at all the things that are happening right now. The AT&T outage a couple weeks ago, the spy balloons, all this panic about Ukraine funding that's happening, borders wide open, all this stuff. And suddenly now, all of a sudden, we get a social media outage on Super Tuesday, which is a big election day. Test run? I don't know. It's just something's up. Something's up. And it all comes down to the Ukraine funding. I've told you that before. There's too many people getting rich off the Ukraine war for them to let a guy come in who's going to end it. And $60 billion, 61.5, I think is the latest number of what they want to spend. That's all going right into the hands of the military-industrial complex. Look, don't call me a conspiracy guy. If you want to call anybody a conspiracy guy, it's Dwight David Eisenhower. Because Ike was the one who said in his farewell address to beware of the military-industrial complex. He also warned us against the scientific health-industrial complex too, but that doesn't get as much notice. It doesn't get as much historical remembrance as does the whole warning about the military-industrial complex. But he warned us. It's just like how Frank Church warned us too. Remember Senator Frank Church? He led the Church Commission in the 1970s, which was the big reform of the FBI, and he said, you know, the spying powers this government has on us at some point, they can very easily use these powers for political purposes. He gave that warning on Meet the Press back in 1976 or whatever it was. He wasn't wrong. We see all that happening, too. We see all these things play out. And more people lately have been coming out and saying, you know, that money for Ukraine, it's not really going to Ukraine. You know, it's going to build Jeeps in this state and tanks in that state and bullets in that state. And I mean, they're admitting that the money's going right into the hands of the military-industrial complex. That $60 billion of money, that's a lot of lobbyists, a lot of lawyers, a lot of people that got to eat. And the swamp loves to eat. All those fancy steak dinners in D.C., Capitol Grill and all the delicious wine, and that stuff doesn't pay for itself. The swamp loves to eat. And Trump is a huge threat to the swamp. Cutting off that funding by ending the war in Ukraine would be something that would make a lot of people very, very sad. And it's not because they're flying Ukraine flags outside their house. It's because they're getting rich off this war. So just don't discount that fact as Trump's about to become the de facto nominee. I mean, he has been. He really is. He by all intents and purposes, he is the de facto nominee. But don't rule out the fact that they're going to try to do everything they possibly can to stop him from becoming president of the United States of America again between now and again. So I'm just saying, just be very, very mindful of that fact that they're going to play some fun and games between now and then. It's not fun for us, and it's certainly not anything we'd call games, but they are games. Games to manipulate voters and games to manipulate the process. Let's face it, Trump's going to trounce Nikki Haley today on Super Tuesday. Biden is at his worst polling numbers ever. The United States Supreme Court said Colorado can't keep him off the ballot. No state can. The Jack Smith prosecution of Trump is basically stalled, going nowhere anytime soon. The Georgia case is about to implode because Fani Willis and Nathan Wade couldn't keep it in their pants. And so they're going to wind up, I can't know for certain, but it seems to me like a reasonable person, and this judge seems quite reasonable, is going to conclude there's enough circumstantial evidence here to assume these two were having fun together, playing their own version of fun and games before he ever got hired. And there's a massive conflict of interest in this case. And she's going to be removed as a prosecutor, and so will he. In which case, then, it's anybody's bet what happens when a new prosecutor is assigned, if ever. So the Georgia case is done, and that's the one they were really hoping they could get Trump on, because there's no pardon power for Georgia. You know, you get locked up on a state offense, the president can't pardon himself for a state crime, and the governor of Georgia doesn't have pardon power. So basically, it would have been Trump's in jail on Inauguration Day. I had this whole movie idea that I came up with, Escape from Georgia, Penal Edition. for the penal system, you know, and that the Navy SEALs would have to go in to the prison and have a confrontation with the Georgia corrections officials and rescue the president from a Georgia jail and bring him back to the White House. Would be a great movie, but I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think the Georgia case is going to proceed. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, maybe the judge will say there's no conflict and it might march on, but I don't see it. And the problem is that even if it does march on, the case is so ludicrous at its face, this idea of a RICO charge against Trump. Georgia's election was not overturned. America's election was not overturned. Joe Biden's president. We have the damage to prove it. So there were no victims in any of this. The New York case is moving forward. Alvin Bragg, who's another one of those woke George Soros-funded prosecutors who believes criminals are the victims. Well, that guy, you know, that guy is moving forward with the case with the Stormy Daniels thing. And again, it's a victimless crime. Much like the case against Trump in New York with regards to the real estate, there were no victims. No banks got screwed over, no insurance companies. In fact, they all testified that they wanted to do more business with Trump, not less. They wanted to do more business with him. They loved doing business with the guy. There were no victims in that case. There's no victims in the Stormy Daniels case either. She got her money. You're allowed to pay people hush money. I mean, you don't have to. There's nothing illegal about it. Somebody comes forward and makes an allegation and says, you had an affair with me, and the person wants to cover it up because they don't want their wife to know, their kids to know, the country to know, whatever. It's their right to do that. The district attorney's argument in New York is that, well, by not disclosing that to the American people, they were denied the opportunity to know the truth, and therefore they didn't cast their ballots correctly or some nonsense. But New York went blue. I mean, Trump lost New York twice. So there are no victims. No one was cheated out of their vote in New York State because they didn't know that Stormy Daniels made an allegation about an affair with Trump. So the whole thing is silly, and it's these two victimless cases in New York. Georgia's falling apart. The Jack Smith case is not going to move forward anytime soon because the question of presidential immunity still has to be decided by the Supreme Court. They're not even going to hear the case till April. The left is very upset by that fact. And the court may not come back with a ruling until the summer. And there is a problem here because the Department of Justice has guidelines regarding when you can try somebody close to an election. So for all these reasons, now the left is very sad. They have a candidate in Joe Biden who's going to lose today in some Democrat primaries to more uncommitted delegates. And his poll numbers are a disaster. And they've been trending this way for months. So there's no turning this ship back around. There's no getting this train back on the track. And they know this. So they're having a very bad day today. But that's also why my spidey sense tells me that the social media outages today, there's more to the story than meets the eye. And we should all be very prepared for something between now and November. Because they're just not going to let Trump back in the White House that easily. They're going to fight like hell and do everything they possibly can to try to stop him. Anyway, I'm so glad you're here today for the Dana Show. We have a lot to chat about, and we're going to get into all these details today. I'll give you my thoughts on how Super Tuesday is going to play out. And the question, of course, that everybody's wondering in the wake of the Colorado Supreme Court decision is, where does the special counsel go now with regards to insurrection charges? It's me, Rich Zeoli from WPHD, in for the Dana Show. Great to be with you from my buddy Dana. We'll be right back.
All right, folks, so new sponsors over at Fast Growing Trees, the biggest online nursery in the United States. And they have more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States. Get lemon, avocado, olive, fig trees. You can have all of these at your home on top of the wide variety of house plants that they have available. And Fast Growing Trees makes it really easy to order online. And your plants are shipped directly to your door in just 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they also offer free plant consultation. If you are not like me, I have a green thumb, but if you're not like me, then you can always ask them questions about whatever it is that you need, any trees, any plants. They make it really easy. And so you don't have to like drive around and look at different nurseries. You can take advantage of their consultation and then you can get your stuff in just 1 to 2 days. So right now they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants. And plus, when you use code Dana at checkout, you're going to save an additional 15%. So go to fastgrowingtrees.com and be sure to use code Dana at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's fastgrowingtrees.com, code DANA. Offer is valid for limited time, so tell them we sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Five things for you to know, including the fact that Apple has been fined $2 billion in one of Europe's largest antitrust actions. Is this a preview of things to come here in the United States of America? I think it will heat up, no question about that. A ring of steel is thrown around the Oscars after pro-Palestinian protesters target the awards show. Well, you know, that's fine. They can have security at the Oscars, but many of those same people in that room, they would never want a wall on the border or something like that. But yeah, there's a lot of nutbags who are looking to protest during the Oscars for their pro-Palestinian viewpoints. Taylor Swift fans are hit. They're very upset after buying $700 tickets for her Eras tour. And there's no view of the stage. $700. I'd say save your money and just go listen to the Better Kelsey speech. That would be, of course, Jason, not Travis. A man arrested was arrested after trying to steal a self-driving taxi in Los Angeles, and he got arrested for it. I didn't even know self-driving taxis were a thing. Kind of reminds me of the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. I like the idea of it because I don't like dealing with people in any way, shape, or form. And a Toronto man was shocked by packages delivered to his mailbox. Live cockroaches in his mailbox, probably straight from D.C. You know, cockroaches and bureaucrats are the only thing that ever seems to survive over and over again. This is the Dana Show. We got a lot to chat about here on Super Tuesday. The latest in the media's outrage over the Supreme Court's ruling. Will Sotomayor step down? Don't go away.
Have you seen any of those viral videos, the ones that show aisles stacked with emergency food supplies in stores? It kind of makes you wonder, like, what do they know that you don't? Well, you already know how I feel about being prepared myself. So why bother with the hassle of stores, which you know just mark up all their prices when you can order directly and save? With Wise Food Storage, you're guaranteed access to delicious, high-quality food exactly when you need it the most. Visit wisefoodstorage.com and enter code Dana in the search bar to unlock exclusive deals just for you, like their current offer, the buy one, get one free on their 72-hour survival food kit. Not only that, but Wise Food Storage offers fast and free shipping on most orders. With their remarkable 25-year shelf life, these provisions will be ready for you whenever the need should arise. So instead of endlessly doom-scrolling through all the videos, wondering what catastrophe could be next, take action and secure your food supply today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar for exclusive deals. That's wisefoodstorage.com and use code Dana.
How much do you spend from your paycheck in about 100 days? The Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski. Every day, Chris helps unpack the connection between politics and the economy and how it affects your wallet. The federal government is on pace to spend over $1 trillion per every 100 days. Are Speaker Johnson and congressional Republicans doing anything about it? Enough is enough. Whether it's happening in D.C. or down on Wall Street, it's affecting you financially. Be informed. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the White House admitted to flying 320,000 migrants into the U.S. That story came out a short time ago. Welcome back to the Dana Show. Great to have you with us today. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for my buddy Dana. Thank you for listening to the show. Let's chat about it. Super Tuesday. Super Tuesday is always fun because it's always unpredictable in some way, but not that unpredictable. I mean, we know Trump is going to crush it today, and Nikki Haley is going to have to make a decision. Is she going to stay in the race or not? I mean, bottom line is this. Nikki Haley is going to get trounced today, even in the states where Democrats can vote and they have open primaries. So what do? Do you keep going or do you just call it a day? I mean, that's really the question. Now, on the Democrat side, it's important to note that the anger over the Supreme Court's ruling yesterday is just palpable because, I mean, they are melting down and they are so angry. But a big reason why they're melting down is because it was such a win for him yesterday. But in addition to that, it's also all these indictments that are happening that are making him look strong. So David Axelrod, the Axe. Probably, I'd say, the smartest Democrat strategist out there. I mean, he got Barack Obama elected twice. And Axelrod is no fan of candidate Joe Biden. He likes Joe Biden as a person. I mean, he fought to keep Joe Biden on the ticket back in 2012. They wanted to replace him with Hillary Clinton back then, apparently. But Axelrod fought to keep Biden. So he likes Biden as a person. But he thinks Biden is a terrible candidate and that Biden's going to lose. Interestingly enough, it was a tweet storm that he did. It was the weekend that the Obama cartel had their reunion party. It was their 15-year anniversary of the historic win in 2008. And it was that weekend that Axelrod got on Twitter and started tweet storming out about how Joe Biden can't win and how Joe Biden needs to be replaced. That's basically, in a nutshell, what he was saying. And since then, Axelrod's been going on about how all these efforts to take Trump off the ballot, stupid, only backfiring and helping Trump. And all of this is only making Trump look stronger. And he said it again yesterday. Here's cut two.
All of these legal travails that he has, all of these indictments, all of these lawsuits and so on, has given him a chance to look indomitable, look strong, look resilient. And that's actually in some ways helped him. Now, the main cases haven't gone to trial yet. That could be a different story. But he's actually used these to propel himself to this moment.
Yeah, well, that's true. He would have, Donald Trump, by no fault of his own, because all these people are doing this to him because these Democrats never learn. You know, they should have just left the guy alone, but they can't help themselves. But they could have. They could have just left the guy alone. Instead, they just kept coming after him and prosecuting him and everything else. And so now you're at a position where he's looking stronger and stronger and resilient. And it's just helping him. Every prosecution, every court action, everything is just only helping Trump. On the flip side of that, you've got Joe Biden entering right now with low approval ratings, historically low. CNN even had to acknowledge this, and CNN doesn't like to acknowledge this stuff. John King with his magic board, he doesn't like to acknowledge it. But nevertheless, they can't help but acknowledge it. Cut 15.
Here's the difference. 4 years ago, we here at CNN did 12 polls matching up Biden and Trump throughout the entire 19 and 20 election season. Donald Trump was never numerically ahead of Joe Biden. That's not the case now. So Joe Biden enters with low approval ratings, historically low approval ratings, and he is doing so in a weaker position than no doubt his campaign would want to be at that point. I just think we're now getting to the season of a fully engaged campaign battle.
And as we're getting engaged in that now, we're realizing that Joe Biden is in a very, very, very bad spot, a very bad spot. So, you know, it's the kind of thing where you got to say to yourself, well, what do we do? Now, imagine for a moment you're the establishment. You're establishment and you want to make sure that Trump does not become president. But you know Biden's going to lose to him and you want Biden out of the race. But Biden is a stubborn old guy. He's not going anywhere. He doesn't want to leave. He doesn't want to leave because Biden is a cranky old codger and he doesn't want to go anywhere. But you got to get him out. And how do you do that? Well, in a perfect world, what you would do is you would just have Kamala Harris run because she's the VP. But she's even more unpopular than Joe Biden is. And for good reason, too. I mean, Kamala Harris, with her word salads, gives nobody confidence in anything. And you can't just shove her aside because, you know, woke would be upset if you just shove aside the first black woman vice president. So what do you do? Well, there are growing calls right now for Justice Sonia Sotomayor to step down from the Supreme Court. So let me throw out this potential theory for you. All right. They say to Sonia Sotomayor, listen, you are about to be Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You're about to allow a Republican president to appoint your successor. You are about to be Ruth, and you're not happy in the job. She gave a lecture, I don't know, a month or so ago, and she went on and on about how she basically hates her job, hates being on the Supreme Court and hates the hours and blah, blah, blah. She's kind of cranky, and everybody on the left is angry at her because she joined in that 9-0 decision. There's even all these conspiracy theories on the left that maybe she actually didn't, and they manipulated the data to make it look like she did. I kid you not. Maybe I'll get into that later. But so now there are these growing calls to have her step aside. Like over at the Daily Kos, which is one of those lefty sites, they have an open letter to her. And they talk in this open letter about how it might be time now for you to step aside. Because we don't want to have a situation where Trump gets back in there and now he gets to appoint your replacement. So what if Sonia Sotomayor steps down from the Supreme Court? Now, Biden gets to make a replacement. Now, normally, that would be something that, say, if the Republicans were in charge in the Senate, they would try to block because it's an election year. But Mitch McConnell is not going to stand in the way of this. He doesn't have the power, and you've got Chuck Schumer as the majority leader, so that moves forward. And there's no filibuster on a Supreme Court justice anymore, the nuclear option. Thanks, Harry Reid. What if you appoint Kamala Harris to the United States Supreme Court? Now you've solved that problem. Now you can put her on the court. You don't have to worry about upsetting woke by shoving aside the first black woman vice president, and you can replace Joe Biden. That's one avenue they might take. I just think that Joe Biden, it's going to keep getting worse for him in a way now where you think about it, it's March. The expectations for Super Tuesday are so low. People are terrified of how bad he's going to do on the Democrat side. They're really worried about this. I mean, Van Jones at CNN is now acknowledging the fact that we got to just address him as grandpa, but we got to say he's the good grandpa versus the bad grandpa. That's where we're at right now. That's where we are. The argument is he's the better grandpa. I kid you not. This is what Van Jones said on CNN, cut 14. Cut 14, Steve.
Unfortunately, he can't get any younger, so there's not that much that they can do about it. He has a chance this week, though, to remind people that sometimes having a good grandpa on the case is better than having a bad grandpa on the case. And that's really what he's got to lean into it. He's got to own it. He is an older guy, but he's an older guy who's a good guy. He's a good man. He's done well for the country, and he's got a track record to run on. But you know, anybody who says this is not a real issue or it's just something that the media is making up, that's not true.
So embrace your grandpa-ness and say it's better to have the good grandpa than the bad grandpa. That's your talking point. Well, that goes back to the Democrat talking point of saying that, you know, MAGA is going to destroy America and Trump's a dictator and all this other stuff. But I guess the question becomes, if that's the case and people actually believe that, why is that not being reflected in the polls? Why are the polls showing that people, that issue is just not resonating with them? They're not buying it. The idea that Trump's going to be a dictator who destroys America and destroys democracy and everything, they're not buying it. I mean, female voters aren't buying it. Trump's got a 20-point lead with them. So if the data is not matching up to your argument, if people are not buying that argument, it's the same argument you rolled out in 2016 and it didn't work then, what are you going to do? I mean, this is the problem that they have. Everybody knows who Trump is. So if you were going to turn around and say that you've got to stop Trump because he's going to destroy democracy, and it didn't work in 2016, and now in 2024, people are turning around and going, yeah, I don't really buy it. And it turns out I think he was better for the country anyway, so we don't really care. You got to have a better argument than just he's a bad grandpa. Your whole argument, he's bad grandpa? That's your argument? He's bad grandpa. No. You're not going to win with that argument. That Biden is a nice grandpa and Trump's a mean grandpa. It's kind of what they did in 2020, though, if you remember it. Biden was the guy hiding in the basement, keeping everybody safe from mean tweets and COVID. He was the nice, good grandpa in the basement. Well, now people turn around and go, I don't really care if grandpa's mean or cranky or sends mean tweets. I just want the country to be secure and I want a good economy. So the grandpa argument is not selling. The grandpa argument is not getting you anywhere. So at some point, you got to turn around and go, maybe we got to try something else. Now, if the New York Times Siena poll shows that Trump's lead with women is better than Joe Biden's, and that was going to be the one demographic that they thought they could absolutely crush because of scaring everybody about abortion, but 65% of voters say the U.S. is heading in the wrong direction, and women voters are saying that, And no matter the race, no matter the age, no matter the gender, voters say Trump's policies helped more than Biden's. No matter the race, the age, or the gender, voters say Trump's policies helped more than Biden's. That's a problem, because then maybe they go, he might be a mean grandpa, but I like his policies. Maybe it's like if you have two grandpas and one of them comes over on Christmas Day and he's cranky, but he gives you an Xbox, and the other grandpa is a super nice guy, but he gives you a sweater. You still want the presents that the mean grandpa gave you. You like him better. I mean, maybe grandpa's going to be nasty and be like, get off my lap. I don't care. Rah, you know, go get a tissue or something, you snotty kids. But here's an Xbox. Versus the other grandpa who's a nice grandpa, gives you a sweater and you just hate it. But here's the other little reality check for you. Biden's not that nice of a guy. He's actually a nasty SOB. He's got a long history of being nasty to people. So that whole nice grandpa veneer doesn't work either. It may have worked in 2020, but it doesn't work now. Not since Theodore Roosevelt ran against William Howard Taft in 1912 have voters gotten the opportunity to weigh the records of two men who have done the job of president. And despite holding intensely and similarly critical opinions, both of President Biden and his predecessor, Americans have much more positive views of Donald J. Trump's policies than they do of Biden's, according to the New York Times Siena College polls. This analysis, by the way, is by the far right wing New York Times. Let me say that again. This is the New York Times writing this. Despite holding intensely and similarly critical opinions both of Biden and Trump, Americans have much more positive views of Donald Trump's policies than they do of Biden's, according to the New York Times Siena College polls. Overall, 40% of voters said Mr. Trump's policies had helped them personally, compared with just 18% who say the same about Biden's. Instead, 43% of voters said Mr. Biden's policies had hurt them, nearly double the share who said the same about Mr. Trump's policies. That presidents are frequently remembered more fondly once they leave office is nothing new, they write. In retrospective, look at 9 of the past 11 presidents. The approval of their job performance increased 12 percentage points after leaving office. Okay, well then knowing that, then the argument that Trump's mean grandpa is not going to help you. It's not going to save you. If their argument is that past presidents get the limelight factor, where people look fondly on them in hindsight, well, then saying that he's mean grandpa is not going to save you. And then threatening that he's going to destroy democracy when people turn around and go, yeah, but I like his policies. They were pretty good and they were better for me. And then that argument's not going to save you either. In other words, if the issue is still the economy and voters are turning around and going, whether they're black, whether they're women, whether they're black women, whether they're brown women, and by gender, by race, by ethnicity, every metric, and they're saying Trump's policies were better, including women are 20 percentage points more likely to say that Mr. Trump's policies have helped them more than Mr. Biden's. You got a problem. And saying he's the nicer grandpa is not going to save you. Because the other grandpa may be bad grandpa, but everybody loves an Xbox. Am I right? It's the Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. We'll be right back.
Our partners over at Gold Co. The gold IRA field can be really confusing at times, and finding a precious metals company that you can trust isn't an easy task. So turn to the folks at Gold Co. who are dedicated to making it easy for you to understand. They have a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers that will explain the economy and how gold IRAs work. They want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. So you can get their free 2024 gold kit and you can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver. And adding gold or silver as a hedge against inflation is something you should be incorporating already. It's an important part of your retirement and savings strategy. And you're going to get unmatched customer service with zero complaint record and first rate attention from the folks at Gold Co. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee. There's no pressure. Protect your family's financial future and freedom and get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver only at DanaLikesGold.com.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
So these numbers stink for Biden. I mean, they really stink. And the New York Times analysis here, which is just not good. Biden was just asked about his poll numbers as he was getting off of Air Force One. We have a little audio clip of that. Take a listen. Okay, stand by. I'll stand by for that. No problem. Biden on his poll numbers. He's claiming now he's winning, actually. Now, I don't know what polls he's referencing here. I have no idea, because the truth of the matter is that every poll we've looked at, every poll we've talked about, shows that Trump is winning. Every poll. But apparently there are these magic polls. Cut 20.
Mr. President, what's your message to Democrats who are concerned about your poll numbers?
My poll numbers, the last 5 polls, you guys are in 4. I'm winning. 5 in a row. You guys only look at the New York Times. They're a great paper.
You guys look at the New York Times. It's a great paper. Okay, well, the New York Times is showing that you are getting trounced by every single demographic there is. Women voters, black voters, Hispanic voters, everybody. You're getting trounced, man. Come on, man. You're getting trounced. I don't know these magic polls that Joe Biden's talking about, like the magic beans that I guess Jack had with the beanstalk, but maybe they're showing him polls that show he's winning. I don't know. Maybe this is their strategy to get him out of the race. Show him polls that show he's winning. Maybe they'll show him that he's won. Maybe make him think he already beat Trump and that now it's the end of his second term. I don't know. But there are no magic polls out there that are showing something different. Everything that we're seeing right now shows that Trump is beating Biden handily with every demographic. And again, that's coming from the far right wing New York Times. That's not Breitbart. It's not The Blaze. It's not me doing that analysis. It's the New York Times. Biden is getting trounced in every single demographic. That's how it goes. All right, it's Super Tuesday. Got a lot of analysis for you as we continue along the show here on The Dana Show. The question, of course, becomes, what does Nikki Haley do? Does she stay in this race or does she get out of the race? That is the question. And we'll find out. We'll dig in. But the establishment wants her to stay in. The question is, will the establishment pay the money to keep her in? Because all those consultants and everybody else, they got to eat. You know what I mean? So we'll find out what Nikki Haley chooses to do here on Super Tuesday as we get ready for what is inevitable. Donald Trump becoming the Republican nominee. And if it goes this way, the next president. Hour number two, straight ahead.
As we get moving, our partners over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. Now, look, they want to save you money in this Biden economy because, let's be frank, everybody's broke. Everybody's broke. Inflation's out of control. Wages aren't keeping up. And for 10 years now, Patriot Mobile, not only have they been my wireless provider, but they've been the only Christian conservative wireless provider. You can get free activation using code DANA, and your money is not going to work against you at the ballot box with DEI, CRT, gun control. They don't support any of that. And with Patriot Mobile, every time you work with them, when you're using your cell phone service, when you're browsing the internet, you're actually helping to create and maintain U.S.-based jobs because they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. And those people, when you call them today, they're going to make it super easy to switch. You can keep your phone, you can keep your number, you can upgrade. I mean, the choice is entirely yours. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code DANA to get free activation. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Well, you know, voters are heading to the polls. It's high stakes Super Tuesday, but high stakes for who is the question since we know Trump's going to win. I guess the only question is it high stakes for Nikki Haley? Does she continue after today? That's the question. The polls close in 5 hours, 54 minutes and 35 seconds. Welcome back to The Dana Show. It is me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. Great to be with you on a busy, busy day today. I'll tell you what, I'm looking at all of the analysis coming out of how badly Haley's going to do. And the only conclusion I can make is that if she stays in the race today, it is proof positive that the establishment wants her in there in case something happens to Trump and they can turn around and they can somehow pivot so that she can become the nominee at the convention. But the problem, though, is that I think even if that were to occur, and I do not believe it's going to occur, they're not picking Nikki Haley. She's so disliked right now. She is so disliked by the Republican voters. I'm not talking about the Republican establishment, but the primary voters. And that's the problem. Now, the polls for Biden are so bad in all the swing states that matter. They're so bad. The question that you've got to wonder as you look at all these numbers and you look at everything that's taking place right now is, what is the goal of trying to appease the lefty lunatic base of the Democrat Party? If Biden is worried, think about it. Biden, if he's so worried right now about beating Trump, why is he spending so much time talking about a ceasefire with Israel and Hamas? Why is he spending so much time placating the extreme members of his own party? Why is he not standing up against these people? And the only theory that I can come up with is because something is going to change. As in, Biden may not be the candidate. And they're really worried about that part of the base staying home and protest no matter what. And they're trying to appease these people because Biden doesn't care about the general election audience. I mean, right now, he should be focusing on a general election audience. Instead, he's still focusing on making sure that the kooks in his own party are happy. But A, you can never please these people. And B, you shouldn't be worrying about that right now. You're trying to win a general election. The only way you would care, the only reason why you care is if you think there may be a change coming and you're worried that that part of the base may go apoplectic if the person who they put in there is a moderate or not what we would perceive to be a moderate, but somebody more moderate, I guess, than what they would want. And you're just worried about the backlash coming from them and you know it's inevitable. So right now you're just trying to placate them. I mean, you know, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who everybody knows, she's the leader of the squad. That's an extreme group of Democrats in the House. It's the Ilhan Omar, it's Rashida Tlaib, it's that whole group of nutbags. Even she got confronted by anti-Israel supporters wanting her to say genocide. This is how extreme these people are. They even confront the most extreme members of the Democrat Party. So here's a little clip. We'll cue cut number 7. This is a little clip of her on the streets of New York as they confronted AOC. I don't know where she was going. She maybe was going to teach bartending lessons. No offense to bartenders. I mean, it's a great gig if you can get it. And she was. She was a bartender. I don't knock that. I mean, I think people who work for a living are great. More people should do that. They should work for a living instead of just, you know, going to college and getting a useless degree. Oh, and speaking of working voters, I saw today as I was driving into work in Philadelphia, all these guys working on the side of the road, you know, and they're all pouring cement and they all have their union stickers on and they were all wearing Trump either shirts or Trump stickers on their hard hats or they had Trump flags on their trucks. It's a great reminder of the dichotomy that exists in this country between the union bosses, the leadership, and the union members. Kind of like when that guy who was the head of the United Auto Workers Union admitted he knows that even though he endorsed Biden, that a majority of his members are not going to vote for Biden. Dude, it's an overwhelming majority of your members are not going to vote for Joe Biden. An overwhelming majority. There's a dichotomy between union guys and gals and the union leadership. I see it all the time. I saw it in 2016, being in Philadelphia. You hear from carpenters, you hear from plumbers, electricians. They don't care who their union leadership endorses. They don't care. And many times they do that stuff because of the internal politics when it comes to things like negotiating pensions and contracts and all kinds of other stuff. So the union bosses do that to placate the local Democrats who are the ones who divvy out all those things. The members don't care. Members don't care who the union boss picks for the president. They're voting for the guy who they think is going to be better for their paycheck. And the United Auto Workers boss, he acknowledges much. He said, I know a vast majority of our members are not going to vote for Biden. They're going to vote with their paycheck. I mean, it doesn't get a better admission than that, am I right? But here's AOC getting confronted by people who are even crazier than she is. Cut number 7.
Then just say it's a genocide. Just say it. Over 30,000 people are dead, AOC. You can't just say it for once. Just say the word. That's it. That's all we want you to say. Or are you not angry about people confronting the public with the
that's it. Cut it, and you're going to cut this, and you're going to clip this so that it's completely out of context. I already said that it was, and y'all are just going to pretend that it wasn't over and over again. It's f***ed up, man. You're not helping these people, and you're not helping them.
You refuse to.
You're not helping them.
You're not helping them. You're not helping them. You know what's funny, though? She's saying, I already acknowledged that it was genocide. I mean, basically, is what she's acknowledging. So you're still placating the extreme lunatics here. Here's Michael Moore, speaking of extreme lunatics, demanding that Jews focus on fighting white Christians, not Hamas. This is the modern Democrat Party today. This is what you're dealing with. This is why a guy like Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania is coming out and sounding reasonable right now as he stands with Israel. Think about that. John Fetterman, who is the United States Senator for Pennsylvania, who ran as the Bernie Sanders of Pennsylvania, a progressive guy, had a long history of that. He's now getting attacked by people like Will Bunch, who is the resident lefty writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer. That's the city newspaper. Bashing Fetterman as having done a 180, embracing things like wanting border security and standing with Israel. The Democrat Party has a problem, and it is an extreme problem. And this is the other issue right now, which is that when James Carville's group looked at polling data, they found that even Democrats acknowledge that the Democrat Party is the party of extremism, not the Republicans. Despite all the claims about MAGA and everything else, despite all those claims, they think it is the Democrat Party that is more extreme. I'll give you another example. Everybody, every single person knows how crazy Keith Olbermann is. And this guy is trying so hard to stay relevant right now. He's trying so hard to stay relevant by tweeting out crazy, crazy stuff. So this is what he just tweeted out a short time ago. And I'll share this with you from his Twitter account. F you, Sonia Sotomayor. F you, Elena Kagan. F you, Ketanji Brown Jackson. Liberal women are effing useless. The Democrat Party has a crazy person problem. Here's Michael Moore, another crazy guy, cut eight.
For the last 2,000 years, most of the persecution has come from white, European-centric Christians. That's been your enemy. No Palestinian helped to build Auschwitz. No Palestinian stood on the docks of New York City when boatloads of Jewish refugees trying to escape the Holocaust came here to be protected by this country and were turned away at the docks in New York and sent back to Germany to die. No Palestinian did that. No Palestinian ran the Spanish Inquisition. Your enemy is not the Palestinian people. It is white Christian European people who have been slaughtering Jews for the last 2,000 years.
Okay, there. This is the crazy people problem. Here's Vice President Kamala Harris. Again, the crazy people problem, addressing the extreme base of the Democrat Party. Why, as you're heading into a general election, why? Cut number nine.
You know, the president and I have been very clear that Israel has a right to defend itself, that we have got to make sure that innocent civilians aren't being killed, and that we've got to get these hostages out. And that is one of the highest priorities right now we have. And I'll tell you, the president has been an extraordinary leader in getting us to this point that we have the 6-week deal. And so Hamas needs to do its thing, as I talked about yesterday in Selma. We all want this conflict to end as soon as possible, and how it does matters.
So Hamas has got to do its thing. Hamas has got to do its thing. Now, John Kirby, who is probably the only reasonable guy left within the administration, he's the acting president. He comes out and makes all these decisions. Biden wants this temporary ceasefire. You notice how Biden never calls for a ceasefire in Ukraine, never calls for Ukraine and Russia to come to the table. He only bosses Israel around. He only tells Israel what to do. Why is that? Because the very same people that want Ukraine to get all the money are the ones that want Israel to have their hands tied behind their back and not be able to go in and actually finish the job that Hamas started when they attacked Israel on October 7th. But if you're placating to the extreme of the Democrat base, you're going to spend your time on this. And the other reason why they don't tell Ukraine what to do is because Ukraine's got the receipts on the Biden crime family. Israel does not. Joe Biden and the Biden crime family didn't do any business with Israel. Ukraine's got the receipts. So Biden is not going to suggest to Ukraine what to do. But also because the military-industrial complex is getting rich off Ukraine, and they're not getting rich off of Israel. Here's Kirby, cut 10.
Does the president agree that there needs to be an immediate ceasefire by Israel, as the vice president said?
He believes it's important that we get a temporary ceasefire as soon as possible. There's a deal on the table, Martha. Hamas just has to take it. It's a deal that the Israelis have signed up to. It's forward-leaning. It will get us a 6-week ceasefire so that we can get all those hostages out. Yes, we want that temporary ceasefire in place right now.
Okay, why? Why? Why are you so focused on that? Think about it now. There's a reason why the Democrat Party is trying to placate the extreme base as you're heading into a general election. And Michigan is a big reason why. If you look at what happened in Michigan, a state that right now Trump is leading in, a state that Trump won in 2016. If you look at that, Trump wins Michigan, and I think he wins Pennsylvania too, but that's the end of the game. But Michigan, you have a lot of these voters there. And the Democrat Party can't lock that base down because they're so extreme. And the only saving grace that they may be able to do is if they can swap out Biden with somebody who can maybe win back some of those Michigan auto workers and the other blue collar voters. I don't think they will. I think they're going with Trump either way. But that's what I think their battle plan is. And they're worried about placating this base because they need them to show up in November. And they're really worried that there's so much anger right now directed at Biden that they won't. All right, I got a lot more on this for you. But Michigan is the answer to that question, in case you're wondering. Just look at what happened in Michigan, where two uncommitted delegates were handed out on the Democrat primary away from Joe Biden. And it's not just because of the Israel issue. It's also because they don't think Biden's extreme enough on climate change and all the other kooky nonsense. All right, more to come on The Dana Show with me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. We're coming right back.
Folks, the veterans over at Black Rifle Coffee, this is the only coffee that I drink. It's veteran-owned, veteran-operated, and they employ active duty and retired veterans as well. And they do a lot with first responders, police, veterans, charities. But the coffee that they have, if you're tired of just garbage coffee, and I tell you, after we went to Italy and I was having like great Italian espresso, I literally can only drink Black Rifle Coffee now coming back because it is so good and it doesn't have a bougie price tag either, which is what I appreciate. You can also get it delivered fresh to your door with no shipping fees. You lose nothing, literally nothing, by being a member of the Black Rifle Coffee Club. When you join, you choose whatever roast or roasts, plural, you want, your frequency of shipment, and have it sent right to your door for free. And you can get 30% off your first subscription order using code Dana. This is premium coffee for premium people who love America premiumly, which we just made up that word right now. But they have great roast profiles. I've told you my favorite one, Tactus Squatch, is my jam right now. But I also have been enjoying some Silencer Smooth on a Sunday morning. But you join that Black Rifle Coffee Club because you can also get kettles and mugs and everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. And choose your roast frequency of shipment, and it shows up when you want it to on your doorstep. Free shipping. You never run out of coffee. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and join the Black Rifle Coffee Club today. Get 30% off your first month using code Dana. Start saving money on high quality coffee roasted right here in the US of A. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Do you ever do yoga? I'm not a huge yoga guy, but certainly women love yoga, and I am a fan of women doing yoga. But in Billings, Montana, there's a yoga studio offering clothing optional class, Bare Roots Yoga. Now look, I think this reminds us of that Jerry Seinfeld episode. There's good naked, and there's bad naked. This is why God made yoga pants. I think we just keep the yoga pants on. That's just my opinion, and just leave it at that. A vampire serial killer who drank the blood of homeless victims for fun is finally caught. This happened in Brazil. There was nothing fictional about the victims' gruesome deaths. They were found drained of their blood and wrapped in bedding in forested areas. It's just a reminder to you that there are crazy sickos all over the world and not just in California. Your company probably knows you're reading this story at work. This is a CNN story. Last month, news surfaced that major companies like Walmart, Starbucks, Delta, and Chevron were using AI to monitor employee communications. They can know what you're reading at work, and the AI might be even getting better at things like your keystrokes and all the other things, especially as they like to monitor you when you're working remotely. So just keep that in mind when you're doing stuff online, like checking out maybe the OnlyFans page. Just try to be helpful. That's all. Just try to be helpful. Daylight savings time is coming on Sunday, 2 a.m. The clocks spring forward for an extra hour of daylight every day, and I'm happy about that. But it's not easy on the kids. I have three of them, a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 3-year-old, and it takes them days to adjust. There are strategies you can do as a parent to help prepare for this by slowly changing their wake times and doing things like that in daily routines, but isn't the better question, why do we still have daylight savings time? I think we need to end it. Pick a time and just stop changing the clocks. It's bad for our bodies. And finally, a burglary suspect was confronted by Colorado police while he was on the toilet. And the cop said to him, come out with your hands up. And he said, I'm on the S, sir, bro. Think Cousin Eddie in Christmas Vacation. Merry Christmas. The S-er's full. The guy was on the S-er. Said, hey, can't come out at the moment. I think that's a legit reason to let a suspect finish his business. What do you think? I certainly would not want to be those cops at that moment, as the guy stood up with his pants down while he was on the can. It's a Dana Show. A lot more to come. It's Super Tuesday. Don't you go away.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
The absurd truth of daylight savings time is that it annoys me that we have to change the clocks. I know there was a bill years ago in Congress which would have ended that, but it didn't go anywhere. It's still controversial. Another one of the wonderful leftovers we're dealing with from the Woodrow Wilson administration, the worst two-term president in American history by far. Wilson's horrible legacy lives on to this day. He's really the guy that started the expansion of the executive branch, which we're all dealing with today. He was a progressive kook. He was a racist. He was an anti-Semite. He resegregated the military. He's the worst. Gave us the Federal Reserve, gave us the income tax, gave us the popular vote for U.S. senators, which was a disaster that haunts us to this day. In the old days, you know, originally the states would send their two senators to the United States Senate so that they would advocate on behalf of the state, not use it as a grandstanding way to run for president. Wilson's horrific legacy lives on even to this day. But I digress. The point is that we will be changing the clock soon, and that's no fun for anybody. It just gets to your body and everything. Just pick a time and end it already. We're also not out there farming at 5 a.m. anymore. Speaking of farmers, you know, the war on farmers is always heating up. The left hates agriculture. The governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, is going after one of America's largest meat packers in Wisconsin, arguing that their carbon footprint, Attorney General Letitia James, arguing that their carbon footprint is too big and they're too bad for the environment. Well, you know, cow toots, methane. They hate cows and they want us all eating bugs. And so they go after these companies all the time for this stuff. And farmers, our poor farmers in this country, have a very, very tough time. That's why you've seen more and more rallies for farmers, not just in this country, but around the world, actually. They've been rallying for them in France and Germany and all around the world. Oh, speaking of around the world, you know who I really like? I tell you, the guy, Mele, that guy spoke at CPAC, and I'm a big fan of his. He is the version of Donald Trump that other countries around the world all wish they had for themselves. And he's been taking on the labor unions in Argentina in a big way. Javier Milei. I like this guy a lot. He spoke at CPAC, had a huge rousing ovation for him. He's great. And he flies commercial, too. He turns around and he just says, you know, I'm a man of the people. He really is a man of the people. And I like that. It's the whole populist thing that matters in a big, big way. I think that he is the embodiment of everything that we want in a modern day leader, which is a guy who's not afraid to go in and tango with all of the powerful establishment leaders. And President Javier Milei's adversaries are wealthy Argentines who have benefited from government largesse. And he enacted sweeping reforms in Argentina, and he faced a major protest. Tens of thousands of people marched through the streets. Hundreds of flights were grounded, and schools and businesses closed in protest of his radical attempt to fix the troubled South American country. He's a rarity. This is from Reason.com. There aren't many self-described libertarian heads of state in history to avert an economic disaster in a country facing huge deficits and a 160% inflation rate that has since spiked to over 211%. He told the country things would likely get worse before they could get better. And he acknowledged the daunting challenges that the country has ahead, but he's going after them full bore, and good for him. And they're protesting him because he issued an order ending the automatic withholding of union dues, leaving workers free to opt out of union membership. Sound familiar? He also banned government workers in sectors such as healthcare and education from striking. While his measures were temporarily suspended by a court ruling, unions are making a show of force so that his agenda doesn't make it through the National Congress. But he remains resolute in his pursuit of a freer, less regulated, and less debt-ridden Argentina. And you know how they got there? Well, they got there by listening to all the geniuses at the WEF, the World Economic Forum. So he addressed those evil bond villains back in Davos in January, and he said that Argentina of the future will be based on libertarian principles. He said if measures are adopted that hinder the free functioning of markets, free competition, free price systems, if you hinder trade, if you attack private property, the only possible fate is poverty. And he's right. But you know, the problem is that we also live in a time right now where we've become so accustomed to the government meddling in the private sector. In our country, for example, take gas-powered cars. What they're trying to do is to make gas-powered cars and lawnmowers and leaf blowers illegal. Not by any other means than by government fiat. They want to ban these things or impose such harsh environmental standards that gas-powered vehicles could not meet them, that they would have to be obsolete. They're also doing this by pumping government money into the subsidy of electric vehicles. And here's a newsflash for you. These things are not better for the environment, not in any way, shape, or form. Not that I care, because I think the whole environmental climate change thing is a gigantic scam to try to just redirect away from capitalism towards socialism. But if you actually are concerned about the environment, then EVs are not your answer. Because first of all, they're heavier, so they cause more damage to the roads. And their batteries are huge, which requires lots of electricity to charge them. And they also emit a lot of particulate matter, particles like dust and debris and all these other things. And since they're heavier, they wear out the tires more. And the tires then wind up giving out all kinds of debris as well. Now, EVs are not a better solution. But people like Little Pete Buttigieg and King Philip the Unaccountable in New Jersey, Phil Murphy, Gavin Newsom, Joe Biden, I mean, they're all in on this stuff. And it doesn't matter if science disputes their findings. It doesn't matter. They want this because that's what the environmental left wants. They're all in on EVs, and they're all in on banning gas stoves. And nowadays, if you try to build a new house or a new subdivision, they won't let you put natural gas in, even though natural gas is clean burning. And look at what Biden did with his ban on liquid natural gas exports. So liquid natural gas, which is clean burning and is wonderful, and would be the answer to a lot of people's problems. Well, I'm broadcasting out of Philadelphia today as I fill in for Dana. I'm the afternoon drive host on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in Philly. Dana's show is heard on our station. We are one of her great many affiliates around the country. And here in Philadelphia, we have a benefit of being very close to the Marcellus Shale. It is the region's, if not the country's, and the world's largest natural gas depository. And we could have a liquid natural gas export right here in Philadelphia that would give people high-paying jobs. And it would also buttress people like Vladimir Putin. Because, you know, you keep hearing Putin's a bad guy. You keep hearing this all the time. We've got to defeat him by giving Ukraine $60 billion more of our money. And we can't let Putin win. Meanwhile, Putin's laughing all the way to the bank. Because Putin is selling his natural gas at record levels right now. And as the United States of America turns around and goes, we're not going to allow any more liquid natural gas exports, our allies in Europe are turning around and going, excuse me, we need it. So now we got to buy it from Putin. So you have France and Spain and Belgium and all these other little countries up there in Europe buying Putin's natural gas. The same guy that apparently is going to goose step into Poland after he's done winning in Ukraine and then conquer Europe. Europe is buying his natural gas because, well, they need it. And also, they're not buying the whole argument that he's the next Hitler and is going to roll into Europe and conquer Europe next. They're not believing that. That's why France came out and said they're not putting any troops into Ukraine. They don't really believe stopping him in Ukraine is the imperative that's going to save Europe. And if anybody would know, it's France. Because France has a very acute history of literally people goose-stepping through the Champs-Élysées when the Nazis took over. And France didn't really put up a fight, as you know. They just kind of rolled right in and then occupied France for years. But I digress. The point is that Biden does not want American national security in any way, shape, or form, but particularly on energy. And the liquid natural gas export ban that he put in is just another way that you're going to empower crazy people around the world. Iran loves it. China loves it. Putin loves it. Brazil loves it. I mean, all these other countries around the world that are supposedly now the countries that we have to be worried about and afraid of, they're turning around and going, thank you. Thank you. This is great. We love this. We love this because now the countries around the world have to buy from us. People still need energy. I know it's shocking, but they do need energy, and just windmills are not going to be the answer. Windmills, of course, also kill whales and dolphins. But, you know, for that reason, they will never allow the truth to come out about how the windmills are, in fact, causing the record deaths of whales and dolphins up along the eastern seaboard. The Jersey Shore, where I go to vacation during the summer, I was a kid. I grew up there. I never saw a single dead whale ever in my life or a dead dolphin. We've had dozens of them since they started doing the exploring for the windmills, because what they do is they use these very heavy machines to put in the pilings and the sonar mapping that they use messes with the whales and the dolphins' navigation. They think it's prey and predators and they freak out and it's destructive to them. But we'll never, ever acknowledge that scientific fact because the left is all in on wind turbines. It's just like how the left hates nuclear power too, and they will never allow nuclear power. Abundant, emissions-free energy is what a nuclear-powered future could mean, but it was sabotage, politically sabotage again by the left, who hates the idea of nuclear power. Why? Because they hate capitalism, and they know that capitalism requires the resources to be able to power an economy, and they don't want that. They don't. This is not a joke here. They truly do want to destroy capitalism. It really is a thing. Nuclear power has been sabotaged by political forces in this country, including people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who was against it for many, many years. And for a long time, you know, they came out and said it was bad. It was bad. In 2007, anti-nuclear activists targeted a plant, the Indian Point Energy Center, which was the largest nuclear plant in New York State. Provided a quarter of downstate New York's electricity. Their cause gained significant traction with the support of New York State Attorney General, a guy by the name of Andrew Cuomo, who had his eyes on becoming governor. He said the plant was risky, so he promised to usher in a new era of clean energy for New Yorkers. His moves against Indian Point, for example, garnered support from fellow Green New Deal kooks like Bernie Sanders, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, environmental groups. The plant eventually closed in April of 2021. But there was a gulf between intentions and results, explains writer Eric Dawson, co-founder of Nuclear New York, a group fighting to protect the industry. The closure of Indian Point increased New York's carbon emissions. State utilities had to make up for the loss of energy by burning more natural gas and more coal, resulting in a 9-point increase in energy-related CO2 emissions. At the same time, the state's energy prices also increased. It's not unique to New York. Germany did the same thing. They opted to phase out nuclear power, betting on wind instead. Electricity from windmills increased, but so did the country's reliance on coal. In 2023, Germany emitted almost 8 times the carbon per kilowatt hour than neighboring France, which still gets the majority of its electricity from nuclear and less than 1% from oil. Nuclear power is the most scalable, reliable, efficient, land-conserving, material-sparing, zero-emission source of energy ever created. Wind and solar aren't as reliable because they rely on intermittent weather. You know, there has to be wind and sunshine. They also require much more land than nuclear plants, which use about 1% of what solar farms need and about 0.3% of what wind farms require to yield the same amount of energy. But nuclear regulation is, it's all about fear-mongering. It really is. It's fear-mongering. There remains some hope for nuclear energy, according to J.D. Tuccilli at Reason.com. Companies are actually developing next-generation nuclear technologies, such as small modular reactors and molten salt-cooled reactors to minimize the risks associated with nuclear meltdowns and explosions. And some former nuclear opponents have become advocates, acknowledging it as a vital source of clean energy. The converts include the Environmental Defense Fund and the Natural Resources Defense Council, even Representative Ocasio-Cortez. The Biden administration has also demonstrated support for nuclear power, with the Department of Energy projecting a tripling of nuclear energy production in America by 2050. However, there remains a ton of opposition for this. And the real question is, will those projects actually come online? The headache of building a new nuclear power plant is vividly explained by a plant in Georgia. The first U.S. reactor built from scratch since 1974. The project turned into a nightmare scenario. It took almost 17 years from when the first permit was filed for construction. And it cost more than $28 billion, and it bankrupted. But again, the reason why is because there were so many regulations, and they wanted to see it shut down. They never wanted to see it come online, that they bankrupted it into extinction. Now, Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We got to come back with some more stuff. We got a lot to get to. It is Super Tuesday here on The Dana Show, and we got coverage of Super Tuesday, as you can imagine. We got a great guest coming up later. So much to get to, so don't go away.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
You know, this guy is one of my favorite Florida men ever. So he brought deer into his house. So he's facing charges now. He brought endangered deer into his home in the Florida Keys. But he was watching Fox News with them, which I admire, because at least he didn't subject the endangered deer to The View. I mean, that would have been animal cruelty, and I think that that would have been ultimately the charge. He was feeding the deer. He had him come inside and hang out with him, and he turned on Fox News and let him watch. But for that, he's facing charges. Like I said, had it been The View, it would have been animal cruelty. A Florida man was arrested for throwing Chick-fil-A at a woman during a road rage incident. He threw a drink at her. I think it was one of those delicious milkshakes. I love the milkshakes at Chick-fil-A. Anyway, Anthony Joseph Pellegrino of Clearwater, I'll be down there soon, hopefully for spring training, was involved in a road rage incident, and he threw a partially full Chick-fil-A drink at a woman, covering her and her vehicle. You know, road rage is not a fun thing, and this is why I advise people all the time. Even if somebody cuts you off or something, just don't flip them the bird. Just let it go. There are a lot of crazy people out there, and the guy ruined a perfectly good Chick-fil-A drink. And finally, a Florida man was sentenced to 4 years in federal prison after shooting down a drone. That's right, on his own property. And he was arrested for this, and I think this is an outrage because, I mean, the guy shot it down on his own property. But apparently he had a gun and he was ineligible to own a firearm under federal law. And that's what's going to lead him to possibly spending 4 years in prison. More Super Tuesday coverage for you here on The Dana Show with me, Rich Zeoli, coming right back. An iconic kiss from World War II. Is it being banned or not? Well, it almost was, except for the outrage that ensued and a win for us on social media. Welcome back to The Dana Show. Glad you're here today. It is me, Rich Zeoli, with you from Dana's affiliate in Philadelphia, WPHT, where I do the afternoon drive show. So as soon as this show ends, I will be getting on and doing my afternoon drive show from 3 to 7 p.m. So there was a memorandum that was put out on February 29th, 2024, from the Department of Veterans Affairs. You know that iconic World War II kiss? It was after VJ Day, Victory Japan Day, in Times Square, New York. And it's an iconic Life magazine photo that was captured by a photographer named Alfred Eisenstadt. It was August 14th, 1945. And it truly is one of the most iconic images in America. It's a U.S. Navy sailor kissing a woman dressed in white. You know the picture. You've seen it a million times. It's been memorialized in statues, and it's been memorialized in stamps and pictures all around the country and everything else. Beautiful, beautiful picture. Iconic shot. Well, right now there's confusion on social media about whether or not there really was an effort to ban the VJ Day kiss from all department facilities. So let me clarify this for you. It was 100% real, a real attempt to ban it. Now you have people on social media who are claiming that this is fake news. It's not fake news. The Secretary of Veterans Affairs came out and essentially said today, let me be clear, this photo is going to survive. But he only did so because the actual memorandum was exposed, and it's very real, and it was a real memo written by a woman named Rima Ann O. Nelson, the Assistant Undersecretary for Health Operations at the VA. And this is what she wrote in this memorandum, which was titled Removal and Replacement of VJ Day in Times Square Photographs. Purpose. This memorandum requests the removal of the VJ Day in Times Square photograph from all Veterans Health Administration facilities in alignment with the Department of Veterans Affairs' commitment to maintaining a safe, respectful, and trauma-informed environment. This action is prompted by the recognition that the photograph, which depicts a non-consensual act, is inconsistent with the VA's no-tolerance policy towards sexual harassment and assault. And it quotes the VA handbook section and relevant directive. Background. On VJ Day in Times Square, captured by Alfred Eisenstadt on August 14th, 1945, is an iconic image from the 20th century. It depicts a U.S. Navy sailor kissing a woman dressed in white, a dental assistant, in Times Square, New York City, on the day of Japan's surrender in World War II, marking the war's end. This spontaneous moment was celebrated across the United States, and the photograph quickly became a symbol of victory and the joyous end to the long and devastating conflict. The placement of this photograph in Veterans Affairs facilities was initially intended to celebrate and commemorate the end of World War II and the triumphant return of American soldiers. However, perspectives on historical events and their representations evolve. Recent discussions have highlighted concerns about the non-consensual nature of the kiss, prompting debates on content and the appropriateness of celebrating such images in today's environment, especially within institutions such as Veterans Health Administration facilities, which are committed to upholding standards of creating a safe and respectful environment. Decision. The Department of Justice's current definition of sexual assault includes any non-consensual sexual act or any act where the victim cannot consent. This definition is adhered to by the department when applying our policies and guidance. By the VA's no-tolerance policy towards domestic violence, sexual harassment, and assault, as outlined in VA handbook and VA directive, blah, 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 the VA is committed to eliminating these behaviors in our community. Employees have expressed discomfort with the display of this photograph, suggesting that its presence could be construed as a tacit endorsement of the inappropriate behavior it depicts. To foster a more trauma-informed environment that promotes the psychological safety of our employees and the veterans we serve, photographs depicting the VJ Day in Times Square should be removed from all Veterans Health Administration facilities. This action reflects our dedication to creating a respectful and safe workplace and in keeping with our broader efforts to promote a culture of inclusivity and awareness. In celebrating the end of World War II and the valiant service of our veterans, facilities should seek alternative photographs that capture the spirit of victory and peace without compromising the VA's commitment to a safe and respectful environment. Your cooperation in this matter is vital. Please ensure that these photographs are promptly removed and facilities explore suitable replacements that honor our history and veterans in a manner consistent with our values. Should you have any questions concerning the memorandum, please contact Leela Jackson, Director of the Assault and Harassment Prevention Office. Signed, Rima Ann O'Nelson, Assistant Undersecretary of Health Operations. So, as you can imagine, this is insane, and it caused a lot of outrage on social media. Well, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs tweeted something out 4 years ago, four hours ago. Secretary Dennis McDonough, the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, tweeted out the following, quote, "Let me be clear, this image is not banned from VA facilities and we will keep it in VA facilities." That was tweeted out this morning at 10:03 a.m. on March 5th. The memorandum was written on February 29th. And just so you understand, the memorandum was real. It's not fake news. They really tried to do this. They tried to do the same thing with the banning of William Penn. William Penn, of course, who was the guy who founded Pennsylvania, was a Quaker, was a big anti-slavery guy. They wanted to ban William Penn, to eradicate him because in some way, shape, or form, it was offensive, apparently, to those who were sensitive to the Native American heritage and culture and blah, blah, blah. It was fake outrage. Nobody really was offended by William Penn's house in Philadelphia. Nobody was offended by the William Penn statue. But they were going to do it until the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, called the Department of the Parks, the National Interior, and said, cut it out. And they dropped the plans to do it. But just like with that, this was real. They wanted to cancel that famous photograph. It's not fake news. But you see, we live in an age now where information comes at you so fast that a lot of people are now assuming that since the Secretary of Veterans Affairs tweeted that out, that the story was fake news, that they were never going to try to ban the picture. No. It was 100% real. The only reason why they stopped it, and the only reason why the memo was February 29th, today's March 5th, so days later, the Secretary comes out and says it's going to stay, is because people spoke up and said, what? What are you doing? What are you banning now? So it was the Veterans Affairs Secretary who overruled the plans. But it was 100% real, not fake news. I have to clarify that because living in the age that we live in right now, it's hard to know what's real and what's not. And the Secretary of Veterans Affairs doesn't want anyone to know that they really were going to do this. The woman who wrote that memo should be fired. The woman who wrote that memo should be fired and should not have a job, because she wanted to ban that photo. She's a typical your DEI hire who was absolutely somebody who wanted to go out there and destroy this and get rid of an iconic American moment because it violates woke sensibilities today because the kiss was non-consensual. And she would have got away with it had there not been the outrage that ensued on social media, which led somebody to calling Washington and the VA secretary coming around and saying, okay, we will keep it. We'll keep it going. But you see, the coward who is the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, he's not acknowledging the reality of this. He's not acknowledging that it's true. He's just pretending like, oh, no, we're keeping it. Because they don't want to acknowledge that that's what they were trying to get away with. And they almost did. Had it not been for people like you and me and others who spoke out and said, this is insane. Why would you do this? They almost got away with it. But this is what they do. And this is what they try to do when they try to cancel things. But one of the positive things about social media is that enough people can speak out. Like, I remember when they tried to cancel William Penn. I was actually on my way to do an interview on Fox News that night on Jesse Waters primetime. It was about 7:30 p.m. I got the phone call that the governor had announced that they were not going to move forward with plans to remove William Penn and the William Penn House from the National Park Service in Philadelphia. And so the issue was moot at that point. But that was another win for social media. And actually, to the credit of the Philadelphia Inquirer, they wrote a piece on that. And they said the controversy that ended because of social media outrage. But you have to know what these people in Washington are trying to do all the time, which is to cancel our history and cancel iconic American moments in the name of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Anything that doesn't match their woke standards. I was at a lecture last night at the Union League in Philadelphia where the professor from Hillsdale College was actually talking about preserving American history. This is a great example of that. That photograph captured by that Life magazine photographer that day stands the test of time. It's iconic. But it offends somebody because somebody who's woke is offended by everything. So somebody sees that and goes, well, that wasn't consensual. That woman was not was kissed against her will. The story is that the guy, the sailor, was a little tipsy, came out, saw this woman, grabbed her, kissed her, and years later she goes on and she says, because they didn't know who the identity of the two people forever. And then eventually later in life she goes on to say, yeah, he didn't ask me if I wanted to kiss him. It just kind of happened. And so for that reason, woke finds reason to be outraged and offended and then demands that the picture be banned. And they almost got away with it. I mean, this was a real thing. This is true. This was not a fake news story. This was not manufactured conservative outrage. They tried to do this, just like how they tried to cancel gas stoves. Remember there was that that story for a while that the gas stove ban was made up by conservatives. It was a fake conservative outrage story. Until the memo came out from Richard Trumka Jr., who's the guy that runs the Consumer Product Safety Commission, acknowledging that because of children with asthma and other environmental concerns, he had the authority and was going to order gas stoves to be banned in the United States of America. Until that memo was exposed, they mocked it and called it a manufactured conservative outrage conspiracy, just like they're trying to do now with this story about this iconic photograph. You see, there's a lesson for this. There's a lesson to this, and that is that, A, your voice does matter. Your voice really does matter. And B, if not for the fact that we speak up, they would try to get away from this stuff. They would try to get away with this. And they might try again. So don't take your eye off the ball. Very important that you don't. This is The Dana Show. It's Super Tuesday. We got a lot to chat about. Don't go away.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, you know, in the world of craziness, RuPaul stands the test of time. RuPaul is sending a rainbow bus to give away books targeted by bans. First of all, there are no books that are banned in this country. But RuPaul, the drag star, is now one of three business partners to give away books in efforts to ensure that the woke curriculum is pushed down the throats of our children. And it's a real damn shame, too, because they won't stop trying to indoctrinate our children. The Rainbow Book Bus will be traveling across the country trying to indoctrinate our children with all this pornography and other things in these books. Outrageous. A heated custody battle over a transgender child in California stokes a viral debate. Conservative social media influencer Chris Elston, who goes by the handle Billboard Chris and travels the country denouncing medical treatment for transgender youth, posted a video. And the fact of the matter is, it shows him interviewing a South Carolina father who claimed that his five-year-old had been taken away from him by the state because he objected to the child being transgender. More stories like this are happening right now, and the fact that the kid is a child should be enough for the state to say, we're staying out of this, and you parent the child as you see fit. But of course, the state wants to normalize this lunacy and this madness, and that's the problem. The tush push will remain for now in the NFL. The tush push will survive as the NFL doesn't want to ban the play. Despite speculation that the oft-used quarterback sneak variation, popularized by the Eagles, my team could get banned, NFL executives told the New York Post that the league will take no such action. Don't punish a team that strategically does the tush push well, which is good. Since Jason Kelce retired from the Eagles officially yesterday, we don't need the tush push ending either. The Eagles need all the help we can get. The rise of the do-nothing vacation, it's a thing. More travelers say they want to make relaxation their top priority while on holiday. Well, you don't get to do that, people without kids. I learned a long time ago that when you go on vacation with your children, again, I have a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 3-year-old, you're not actually going on vacation, you're going on trips. Because there's no relaxation whatsoever. You have to entertain them the entire time, unless you put them in those kiddie clubs during the day, but my wife and I aren't fans of that. So there's no really vacations when you have children, you have trips. You might get a vacation night here and there, but you're not getting an actual vacation. So if you have the ability to do a do-nothing vacation, I highly recommend you do so. There's actually a term for that in Italy. You just basically do nothing. You just enjoy and relax and rest yourself and regroup. But again, it only happens before the little ones come around because they change everything. Speaking of changing everything, there's a new game coming out, which I'm very excited about. I liked playing Madden football when I was a kid, and there's going to be an EA Sports College Football 25 video game. They haven't done a college football video game in 10 years. Well, College Football 25 is coming out, but there's already outrage. ESPN reporter Holly Rowe questioned the iconic game by EA Sports and said, how come there are no women involved? How about including some women? EA Sports, see, there has to be outrage about everything. I got an answer for you. Women don't play college football? All right. Anyway, more to come on The Dana Show, including more analysis of Super Tuesday and a great guest as the Biden administration tries to seize more power in the private sector. Don't go away.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana today. Great to be with you on Super Tuesday. Biden has a bizarre plan to nationalize American innovation. A new rule would give Biden power to dictate prices on any product derived from government research. It's really another takeover by this administration as they try to radically expand the executive branch and destroy innovation. Here to talk about it with me is the Council for Innovation Promotion Board Chairman, Andre Iancu. Andre, thanks for joining me. This is a very important topic. How are you doing?
Great. Good to be with you and with your audience.
Absolutely. So this is a radical proposal to reshape the underpinnings of America's innovation economy. Right now, a lot of places get federal research dollars so that they're able to innovate for new products, drugs, vaccines, that sort of thing. And essentially, as I understand it, the administration would now be able to impose price controls throughout the American economy on anything that's created if any federal dollars are used in the course of the creation. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And it's not just drugs or pharmaceuticals. It's every type of technology, every industry would be affected.
And what is the basis behind this? What is the administration's impetus for doing this?
Well, the stated reason, frankly, is that they want to help lower drug prices. And we can talk about whether this proposal would be effective at doing that. And as a hint, it isn't. But the reality is they're hiding behind the drug pricing rhetoric to actually get their hands into every aspect of the innovation economy.
Now, in this country, we have a lot of people who create things and they have patents on them. There's copyright laws. There's all kinds of laws that protect the intellectual property of those inventions, of those creations. This would destroy that. I mean, this would essentially now have the government be able to take ownership of somebody else's ideas and somebody else's innovations simply because government research dollars were used, federal funding was used in some capacity. That's going to destroy innovation. And doesn't it also give the ability for the United States to turn over products that are created through the course of innovation to, say, foreign governments like China?
Absolutely. That is such a good point. Because what would happen here is some research lab, let's say at a university, would invent a new technology, okay, and it uses a couple of dollars from federal funds and then a huge additional amount of money from private industry. Well, because of the couple of dollars from the federal funds, the government could march in and appropriate that technology. Because of that possibility, you can imagine industry is not going to invest any further money to bring that technology to market. So as a result, it sits on the university shelf. Now, stuff doesn't just sit on the university shelf. Professors publish this anything they create. So the technology will be published, but the American industry will not bring it to market. The Chinese will just simply look at it, copy it, do whatever they want with it in their own country, and then also potentially export it internationally with no recourse from the inventors. It is a huge dampening of investment in the American economy, and it's a complete giveaway to the Chinese and others who want to take advantage of this vacuum.
Yeah, it's a giveaway to the World Economic Forum, and it's a giveaway to the World Trade Organization and all the other international conglomerates that want to take American ideas and hand them out around the world like they're candy. Now, one of the major problems I have with this is that this executive action would undo a law that was passed by Congress in 1980. It was a bipartisan law passed by Congress in 1980. And once again, we watch as the administrative state now turns around and says, well, we don't need no stinking laws. We're just going to override an existing congressional law by executive action. And that's a real danger to our entire system, obviously. But it's also really frustrating because this bipartisan law that was passed in 1980 gave way, really, to the American economy of innovation that we know so well. So tell us about that aspect of it.
Yeah, this is a revolutionary law. It's called the Bayh-Dole Act. It's bipartisan. Senators Bayh, who was a Democrat, and Senator Bob Dole, who was a Republican, passed this in 1980. And effectively what it says is that patents generated, at least in part with federal funds, still belong to the university, and the university is completely free to license it to industry, and then industry can invest and bring that technology to market without the threat of government interference. That really opened up the floodgates to innovation stemming from universities as well as other federal research labs, bringing all sorts of new technologies to market that otherwise would be sitting on the shelf. This law has been around for 44 years. Never once has the government marched in to take over any product or any technology, despite requests from some to do that. Never once has the government said that price can be used as a criteria for the government to march in. this is a new thing that the Biden administration is trying to do. No Democrat or Republican administration before this has attempted this. And, you know, they are now trying to undo a law effectively that's been around for 44 years and giving the country great results. And it's just baffling that, you know, we have so many problems in this country, frankly, and you have something that's working really well. Nobody's complaining really about it. And they just want to upset the apple cart here. And it's just baffling why they would do that.
Well, it's obvious, though, why they would do it. And that is because they want to be able to have price controls and they want to be able to intervene in the free market and control things. As you write at your Fox News op-ed, Andre, the door would be open for bureaucrats to seize patents and ruin entire businesses if they disagree with the market price of anything. From microchips and surgical devices to implantable biomaterial and agricultural technologies. You also say no field escapes unscathed. In one scenario within the guidance, administrators suggest that insufficient market availability of vehicle safety communication devices warrants seizing patents and taking over the business. I mean, that's a government takeover of the private sector right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it's under the guise of lowering drug prices, but people really need to pay attention to this. They give 8 scenarios at the back of this guidance, okay? Scenario number 2, for example, deals with 3D printing technology. They want to take over that business, okay? In scenario number 3, there's a grant from the Federal Highway Safety Administration that deals with new technology for improving traffic signs, okay? Nothing to do with drugs or pharmaceuticals. Example 5, okay? It deals with a water purification system. And I'll give you one more. Scenario 7 deals with vehicle-to-everything communications. This is, you know, communications that come out of vehicles and they talk to each other or they talk to phones and whatever. Nothing to do with medicine or drugs. Under the guise of reducing drug prices to consumers, because that is a political issue to press home in an election year, they want their hands in every aspect of the innovation economy. And that is the main point that folks need to focus on.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, whenever they always say, well, this is we have good intentions here, run away from this. First of all, this act, if they're going to undo this act, Congress should have to undo it because Congress is the one that passed the law in the first place. They shouldn't just be able to do this by executive fiat. That's number one. Number two, this is also going to dissuade people from the enormous investment of capital, of time, of blood, sweat, and tears to create new innovations in this country. Because if they know that they can do all this hard work to create something, and then the government can just come in and essentially now seize it, Andre, that's going to be a huge disincentive for people to take the risks, sometimes enormous risks, with trying to create new products and new technologies.
Yeah. So let's put that in context, okay? And let's talk about pharmaceuticals because, you know, that is an important part of the American innovation system. It costs on average, Rich, as you know, to bring, you know, up on the average, $2 billion to bring a new drug successfully to market. This is, you know, the original basic science research that needs to be done, the development of the drug, then the testing, whether it's in animals, then in humans, and the FDA approval process. It takes years to bring a new thing to a new drug to market, and it costs billions of dollars. Okay? And once the drug is out, it's just the chemical formula, and if it's successful, it's really easy to reverse engineer it and figure out how to make the compound. And if you don't have patent protection for that, or if the patents are being threatened by the government marching in and seizing it, just think about what executive in their right minds will say, oh, okay, we're going to invest $2 billion on the off chance that it will succeed years down the line after we put in all of this effort, go through the regulatory process, and if it's successful, they're going to come and take it away from me. It will if that is what they do, it will dramatically depress the willingness of America's investment community to bring dollars to the table to enable the development of new drugs. In the long run, patients will suffer, and fewer new medicines will be and cures will be brought to the market.
Yeah, well said, well said. Andre Iancu, thank you for your time today. Council for Innovation Promotion Board Chairman. Excellent piece over at foxnews.com. Check out his editorial on this. Thanks for your hard work and coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Rich.
Now, there's some breaking political news right now, and that is out of Arizona, where Kyrsten Sinema has just announced she will not be running for re-election as a United States senator. Now, this is problematic for a number of reasons, but primarily it's problematic because Carrie Lake is running as a Republican for U.S. Senate. And Sinema was also running as an independent. And the Democrat, this Gallego, the hope was that Sinema and Gallego would split some of the left's vote and that Carrie Lake could win. So now this has made it a little bit more challenging. We'll have more analysis on this for you, but it literally just broke a few moments ago as Kyrsten Sinema announces that she will not be seeking re-election for United States Senate in Arizona. We'll see what the effects of that are. 58% say Biden has mostly failed the working class. The working class voters are not happy. The border is a mess. It's all bad news as Biden gets ready for his State of the Union address Thursday night. It's The Dana Show with me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. Don't go away.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, in California right now, something fascinating is happening. Russia collusion hoax jerk Adam Schiff is actually losing the race for U.S. Senate right now to famed Dodger Steve Garvey. It's amazing, actually, what we're watching play out here, because I tell you what, people don't like Adam Schiff. For a lot of reasons. I mean, number one is the guy led the Russia collusion narrative. He was censured over his lies. He's a pathological liar. But he was looked at as a shoo-in to win the U.S. Senate seat for the retiring Dianne Feinstein. But now Steve Garvey is up by anywhere from either it being a statistical tie to being up by 2 points in the race for U.S. Senate in California. And the way it works is that the top two will then face each other. This is how the California system works. But it's not a good look for Shifty Schiff, because that guy was supposed to go in there today and crush it. And there's a lot of Democrats running in California. So Garvey could actually pull this off today, which could be fascinating to watch. And we'll see how this goes. And the other thing, of course, is the other breaking news story is that Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema, who had left the Democrat Party a few years ago to become an independent, has announced she's not seeking re-election for the U.S. Senate. Carrie Lake, who ran for governor, she's fantastic. Carrie Lake is running for U.S. Senate. There's another Democrat running for U.S. Senate as well. And the thinking was that Sinema and that Democrat were splitting some of that vote. So now the question is, will those votes from Sinema now go to the Democrat? And then does that make it harder for Carrie Lake? That's what we'll have to watch play out in Arizona with that. But look, I mean, a big issue in Arizona right now is the border. And the border issue is huge. And it's part of the reason why Kyrsten Sinema left the Democrat Party. And it's part of the reason why I would say Carrie Lake has a good shot in this race, even with Kyrsten Sinema leaving the race, although she's not going to be happy about it. But Squawk Box hammered little Pete Buttigieg over the Biden administration's border talking points. This clip's a little long, but it's worth hearing before we get off the air here today. Hammered him on this. Squawk Box. Take a listen.
Every time we hear those talking points that suddenly it was Republicans who ruined the border, that's why people get so frustrated. We know what President Biden said about inviting people in. We know that he got rid of all the things that were keeping the border closed that President Trump had put in. We know that he got rid of all those. So when you say it's not his fault.
That's literally not true. He got rid of the 7.2
Did you see 7.2 Did you see 7.2 million people come in during the Trump administration? It was a trickle.
He got rid of the policy to tear children out of the arms of their parents. That's true. But it is not true. Some of the other things that have been suggested. Let's be clear. Bipartisan efforts of border reform
with why there's a
have
disconnect,
taken place in 2015, 2006. Okay. I mean, literally since the Reagan administration.
Good for them for pushing back on the nonsense. So it's the Republicans' fault. It's such a joke. It really is. All right, before we get out of here, Steve Jones, I know you got a piece of wacky audio for us to brighten our day. This one's a doozy.
All right, I'm here. Jake Tapper, CNN. He had a long day this morning. I guess it started pretty early, and this is what led to that.
Colorado Supreme Court, of course, wasn't saying, however partisan people might have thought the decision was. Their official explanation was not they didn't like Donald Trump. They said he participated in an erection, and I have to, an insurrection. And I have to say, I got up at 5 this morning to do Casey Hunt's show, and I'm exhausted.
Well, there you go. And you know what you start your day with many times. So there you go, Jake Tapper. Awkward, to say the least. All right. So as we wrap up here, the Super Tuesday edition, I'll be back with you tomorrow on the Dana Show to analyze the results. But here's how this is going to play out. Obviously, Trump's going to have a great day. Nikki Haley's going to have a terrible day. The only question is, will Nikki Haley stay in the race? Will she announce tonight that she's suspending her campaign and getting out, which is what she should do, what a reasonable person would do? Or is she going to continue to go on because the establishment is pushing her and won't let her out of this race? As long as they're writing the checks and she's cashing the checks, will she stay in? I don't know. We're going to have to see. But my sense of it is Nikki Haley has no pathway, and yet there are still voices that are telling her, stay in this race. Don't give up. Just in case Donald Trump can't be the candidate for whatever reason, take it all the way to the convention. She should do the smart thing and get out. Back Trump, unify the party, and end this once and for all so we can march towards November. But politicians don't always do the right thing. Have a great rest of your day. Time for me to do my local show on WPHT. Back with you tomorrow. Thank you.